All right, it is 8:32 on Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. We are here at 61 South Main, Suite 306 for a work session. Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Cherise Bills, Clerk Auditor's Office.
Mike Kendall, Attorney's Office.
Curtis Coe, Clerk Auditor.
Josh Johnson, Library.
Maureen Kamalu, Commissioner.
Randy Elliott, Commissioner.
Lane Rose, Facilities.
John Perry, Weber Basin Water.
Sean Brady, Commission Office.
Scott Patchman, Weber Basin Water.
Kent Anderson, Community and Economic Development.
And Chris Bone, Human Resources.
All right, so we're having this work session today because of the situation that we're in, and I'll ask Scott for an update and Weber Basin folks just a little bit, but we're here to discuss about our ongoing project across the, behind us here, the new courthouse remodel. Being that we have some water restriction years going in and some restrictions on landscaping, maybe just for the Weber Basin side, but also for our side, you know, our concept here might need to change a little bit because we do have a lot of green grass and green area space. But real quick, Scott, can you give us kind of a general update on what's going on with water? I can probably do it, but I'll let you do it.
And one more thing. Of course, all of this started to be planned in earnest a couple years ago.
Oh, yes.
Before the severest drought kicked in.
Sure. Okay, good to know. Yes, so last year was horrible, and we basically used most of our storage. We had very little carryover. We had enough carryover in our reservoirs to have a drinking water supply for our wholesale customers. And that's basically what we have up there now, is a drinking water supply. This is up in the upper reservoirs. And so from all the forecasts that we're seeing, we're seeing that the more senior water right holders on the river, that's Echo Reservoir, or Weber River Water Users Association, and Davis and Weber Counties Canal, and Pineview Water Users, those are the senior right holders. They may fill their portion of the reservoirs. If they don't fill, we get zero water. If they fill barely and we get a little, then we'll get a little. Last year we got 3% of what we typically get. Out of 220,000 acre feet, we got around 7,000 acre feet. This year we're expecting a little better than that, because the senior water right holders last year only got about half their water. So we're expecting them to get a little bit more. The bright star is the soil moisture. Their soil moisture is much, much better than it was last year this time. And so we're expecting a lot more efficient runoff. So the snow that we have up there, which isn't great, right? Today it's like 65% of normal. We're expecting it to come off better than last year, not just soaking to the ground. So what is up there, hopefully we'll get a good portion of that in storage, at least to the senior right holders.
And that happens because you get some good moisture before the freeze, right?
Yeah.
I remember learning that last year for the first time.
November rains really helped that soil moisture tremendously. So, and it basically stayed there the rest of the winter. But the year before, it was dry and in the fall, and so we just didn't have anything there. So thus, we have a drought contingency plan that we follow very closely, and it was we went through the planning effort about 3 years ago, was it, John?
2018.
And sat down with a lot of our customer agencies, both agricultural, municipal, industrial, secondary water users, the whole gamut, and went through different scenarios and felt like we had a pretty good consensus on what kind of restrictions we would use if we had, you know, severe, extreme, whatever type of a drought year. And this year, we're in that, I get them mixed up, but is it extreme?
Severe.
So the severe level requires that we have a 60% reduction on pretty much all outdoor lawn and garden watering. That includes culinary water. If that's used outdoors, that's included in that 60% reduction. And then of course secondary irrigation. and then 40% reduction on agricultural lands. These are just our customers, again. 40% reduction on agricultural lands and 10% reduction on indoor culinary water, which is the first level of the drought contingency plan where we actually reduce indoor use. So, and we have never been here before. The biggest restrictions that we've had to date are last year, which was about a 40% restriction on just on irrigation only. So we are kind of in a dire straits. We didn't expect two really horrible years in a row, but we've got them so far. So we're still hoping for great spring rains, and they could make a huge difference, but we're not seeing them yet. So we're, and these are all contingent on our board of directors, board of trustees, making a decision on those restrictions for this coming Thursday. So Randy will be involved in that. Yes?
So you talk about 60%, 40% reduction, 10% reduction. How do you enforce that?
So in most cases, we're the wholesaler. So we have contracts with irrigation companies, cities, whatever. And we basically just reduce their contract by that amount. Whether it's 10% if it's drinking water only, or 60% if it's an irrigation company. We just cut that amount of water out of their contract.
So Layton City, you reduce their drinking water by 10%?
Correct. As well as the portion of the city that is irrigated with culinary water that's under our contract, from our contracted water, reduce that by 60%. Now the retail customers, we have about 25,000 retail customers, secondary irrigation only. And for them, we've got two categories. We've got a metered user and an unmetered user. And they're about half and half right now. About half of our customers are metered. So the metered customers, we're going to reduce, we're going to give them a weekly allocation of water, depending on their lot size, the size of their contract, and so forth. And we figure in that 60% reduction. And then they can use that allocation that week however they want. They can water every day, just a little bit, or they can water once a week or whatever. Now those without meters aren't given that flexibility. They're basically, we're basically limiting their irrigation time to one day a week, one watering. So it's pretty extreme. Not sure exactly how the landscapes are going to fare, honestly. Utah State University has told us that a half an inch of water on sod, it'll go dormant very early, but it should come back. Well, we're seeing some areas where it hasn't come back, even last year where we had two waterings per week.
Depends
on the sandy soil. If it's really sandy, they're not typically not going to do as well.
The conditioning of the soil historically, yes. Right? Somebody's been overwatering just and hasn't ever had it established.
Sort of right on the surface. There,
and they've struggled more so than other people who trained it.
Yeah.
So a lot of factors there. So we expect to hear, and we already have heard a lot of pushback, a lot of comments. But like I've always said, 80 to 90% of our customers are very understanding. They understand that there's a drought, they've seen the reservoirs, they know they've got to do their part. There's 10 to 20% there. It doesn't matter whose fault it is or what it is, they're not happy and they're going to fight. So
it's about 50% last Saturday.
That's true. The government is horrible. Let us live and be a wild west.
That was inappropriate.
It's okay. It's reality. But we have had a lot of questions about water and certainly want to lead the way. We've had discussions internally for a long time and years of Lane, particularly in his position over facilities. Years ago, when our irrigation system needed to be replaced, he did his own research and found a really, really good one that did the soil moisture measure, status, unlike what most people were using, and that was several years ago. So it's a big deal to us. We've also been having some initial discussions about, well, the whole work session several months ago about
non-functional
turf, right, and making the changes to all of our county properties as the budget allows. You know, do we have money that we can do it, which is from the relief funds? Is it allowable? That's another discussion pretty recently, to get some things changed over faster than we might if it were just waiting for general fund allocation.
Right.
So we've been pretty interested all along. We also know, and I heard just a teeny little bit, I'm so tired of being restricted with my water, and then I see what the churches and the schools, yes, and the city buildings are doing. And that it's frustrating for folks.
Absolutely,
and
it is.
So we feel a need to really visually, but also in reality, be leading the way.
Awesome, that is great.
So that brings us to the topic of hand. See how beautiful that looks, since with all this beautiful green grass, it's like green, beautiful southern courthouse.
And Lane should explain what you already know, but it's when it comes to facilities, what's most efficient for facilities and the upkeep of it, he can explain to you. But again, this was supposed to be a gathering plaza for the entire county.
Right.
A gathering plaza for the entire county. This is not just for, you know, the people who work in two buildings. So it's a big deal to us. I don't know what else you can say about that, Lane, about the design.
Well, he's got some concepts for us now for looking at.
Yeah,
so this design was kind of accepted or approved.
This is what we accepted 2 years ago.
2.5 years ago.
Okay. I mean, we could just put little signs out, due to drought, we will do landscape for the future in the head, which I don't mind doing.
Just turn me around. The winds come.
Mud and weeds, that's what it is nowadays. Weeds can always grow now. If we can just genetically modify that weed into that grass, we would be great.
Yeah.
What would that grow? Okay, let's see what you got. There's another concept out.
So yeah, this was the original concept. And from our standpoint, and turf, from what I can gather too from industry-wide, like turf, why are we in this situation? Or why partly are we in this situation? It's cheap to install.
Right.
And it's cheap to maintain.
Absolutely.
We have to sign this down, fertilize it a few times a year, mow and go. It's quick, it's easy. In my experience, Xeriscape, the intense planning of Xeriscape, I know there's different scale of Xeriscape, but some of the Xeriscapes that I've worked with are actually more maintenance and more costly.
It can be, absolutely.
And so here we are, turf is the easy answer. Not the most water friendly.
Agreed.
And the other point, real quick, that Commissioner Kamalu mentioned, we have, in my opinion, one of the most state of the art irrigation systems. It's a baseline irrigation system that we actually, it's not an algorithm, it's not a weather algorithm. A lot of the smart controllers are. We actually use moisture sensors,
mm-hmm,
and it waters when it needs the water.
Yeah.
Here's a graph that shows you that this isn't in our property, but I mean, this water, it went 10 days without water, right? And it just watered when it needed. The green line is the moisture content. You watch it, and then it only waters when it needs it, right?
Yep.
So depending on the weather and everything.
So we think like July and August without
water. And you can see it starts getting in July and August, so I mean, honestly, you know, things dry out. Well, you know, one scenario, the issue with water restrictions, basically last year, we just have to shut off. If we need to follow the watering guidelines, we have to shut off all of our smart capabilities, basically.
Yeah.
It becomes a dumb system at that point. So yeah, that was a original concept. Well, let me bring this one up first. I know Curtis brought this up, and we talked about it, and I still think the cost to do this per stall is going to be pretty pricey.
To redo and take away from the gathering area and put in parking instead?
Put in more parking.
So on that real quick, though, we do have need for more parking, right?
Yeah, we always do have.
Yes. So that would be just the Xeriscape in between, it's a little bit mean, I think the...
I mean, we could do this whole section.
Nice and green. Oh, well.
There's really not enough room to do like a dope, to do two aisles.
Yeah, just one row, of course.
My biggest concern is we're going to be planting or laying this sod in May, June. And for sod to survive, you need to water it. I used to water it daily,
yeah.
Sometimes twice daily, yeah. During super hot weather to survive, right? You cut the roots off, there are no roots.
Yes.
And how does that PR look when a county resident walks past and we're watering in June every day?
So I said, just put the sign up that says under construction. We're waiting it out.
Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Can we do that? Why can't we do that? You ever put a sign up that says due to drought, we can't, our landscaping is on hold?
I think it'd be Farmington City's call.
Okay. It's Farmington City's call.
Yeah.
That's part. Oh, okay. Guess it's not my call.
Because I know we've got 14 stalls charted in on that, but is that accurate as far as the number of stalls? Because I'm looking over here, I'm looking at design agencies. No planter box. I mean, is it just closer to 20 stalls that we're adding?
So this was just a really rough, you know, if we want to go full into this, our engineering team's going to want extra fees, extend this contract.
So more money to more make money. This change. What? We've already done change several orders. Times more money to make various changes,
yeah.
Which is sad.
But just looking at this even long term, you know, do we xeriscape this whole campus? Or do you leave certain sections? This added concrete right here to make this plaza bigger. Really, how much grass do we want on this campus?
Looks like John's hoping to...
Just some comments. So I've been working with a lot of communities about adoption of water rights ordinances, right? Establishing that new standard for the new growth, the new development, things like that. Farmington City is one of them that has recently sent us their ordinances that look like they're doing what we want them to be doing and moving in the right direction.
What is that?
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. So what we're asking people to do is the no more than 15% turf in commercial, industrial, institutional spaces unless it's a designated recreation area. And so that's what we're pushing, and we have had very limited pushback and discussion. People are just readily accepting that position. You know, the Wendy's and the, you know, the fast food joint on the corner doesn't need to have the 80% turf of the arable space, which is what you see right now when you drive by. It's not being used for anything. It's burned.
So it's not functional.
It's just, it's not functional. It's sloping off, right? And so they're in the process, and I think it's going to their city council here, or they might have just recently adopted it, that has that new standard is institutional, commercial, industrial spaces being that 15%. And then it's a strong discussion on the single family residential being limited to that 35%. And you might be thinking the 35 and 15%, where did John pull these numbers from, right? He's just wishful thinking, he wants us to be Arizona. Well, one of the things is Senator Iwamoto in his last legislative session made a requirement that we adopt the state's regional conservation goals. Right, the house is going from the 270, 250 area that we're in right now all the way down to just below 170 within a matter of 40, 50 years. It's a very aggressive goal. Gallons per capita per day, sorry. That's the metric that's being used in that analysis. And so when they did their regional conservation goal document several years ago, they didn't go into a lot of detail as to how you meet that goal. But they did look at several different things, right? The outdoor landscaping, the indoor plumbing efficiencies and things like that, and just said, if you're going to get this goal, here's some things, some guidelines. And that's where it comes from, right? They've got us saying, if you're going to get this 170 GPCD by the year 2040, 2050, you're going to have to see that existing homes that are in the ground right now are no more than 50% turf, and that new growth is that 35% mark. And so unless we want to write a justification document sent to the state that says you're up in the night, we're happy with our 230 GPCD, which is going to be problematic if we go for more development projects and we try to argue that our 230 GPCD is acceptable. That's the goal. That's where some of these numbers are coming from. And so I think as we look at this, it's just something to consider is Farmington City has adopted, as far as I'm aware, that 15% standard. And unless you want to go in and make an argument that it's something different than that, I think that's a starting point for the conversations. And I get everything that you're saying, right? It is a change in maintenance, right? You are probably one of the unique scenarios in your staff where you guys probably actually have mastered the turf. You do it efficiently, you fertilize when it needs to be fertilized, you mow it, and you got a really streamlined operation. The general public out there and the general management companies that are doing these, you know, McDonald's and things like that, don't have it mastered. They're not using the technologies that you're using. They're setting it to water every day because they don't want to come back out there and respond to a brown spot. They just have no interest in spending any more time out there than they absolutely have to. Right.
That's when people get so frustrated.
Yes. Right. And I've had the same thing. I had to stop at the CVS over in Layton when they got water just pouring over the park strip. Be like, what are you guys doing? I called my landscape. I called my boss. I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm going to shut it off for you. You'll let them know I shut it off. Like, I don't want you guys to sue me, but I'm going to go and shut this thing off for you. And they just don't know how to do it.
Yeah. It's contracted out.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's really what we're trying to do is set up the standard that's most applicable to the biggest population and makes them successful in getting to where we need to be. But there is no such thing as a maintenance-free landscape. Even the asphalt gets cracks and the weeds start growing up. So.
Well, and that brings up the point of, we've strived to make our campuses look great, right? What does that mean? Green grass. And I'll use our health department as a, we talked about different types of turf. Well, for years, they planted a drought-tolerant turf in there, fine fescue, and people's perception, it didn't look like Kentucky bluegrass, so it didn't look like we were doing our job. So we spent thousands of dollars, time overseeding, aerating, peat moss, to make it look green.
Right.
And we got it looking green two, 3 years ago. And then last year, we got green grass shamed. And so, in my opinion, I was like, if we have grass, I want to keep it looking good, or that was my goal.
Right.
And now, and that's my long-term worry about these grass areas is you're one day weed watering, like you said, a lot of this isn't going to survive. It's just going to, why are we paying a company to fertilize a mow? Why are we putting all this resources into mow to fertilize it when it's just going to be dead? Let's not pay for fertilization and aeration and mowing, but let's just it's a public perception too of, are we all right with our grass not looking super green and super
And I think one thing that Scott noted that I think we should all keep in mind is the one day a week waterings is really our, you know, effort to try and enforce a watering restriction on somebody. There is no capabilities unless they're metered. We have to run somebody down the street to see if they're watering when they should be watering.
So, question for people that are metered, do they get, I think some of ours are, after they go over there a lot bit, can you shut them off or do you just fine them and they pay a premium? Both.
Depends on the year, yeah.
Depends on how severe, how much they go over.
Right. But I mean, the long-term goal and plan of the district is to get everybody metered and no longer be this, it's one day, it's gonna be volume restrictions, right? If we get a gravel, we're asking for 60% reductions. Well, here's what the 60% reduction looks like. And if you've got a landscape that's 15% turf and balanced drip irrigation, then hopefully the restriction that you're seeing isn't anything beyond what you've already put in place to be successful.
Right, it feels like you're punishing the people that are doing good, that we've spent thousands of dollars installing these sophisticated systems, trying a lot of xeriscape.
Yep.
I like the idea and the thought of you mentioned earlier how you're going to calculate and say, based on your acreage and based on this. And then that creates people getting creative. It creates them like, hey, look, I used only this much water. Look how great my yard looks.
And that's what we want
to do. They start installing smart plants.
You got to be
here
to get there.
Yep.
Yep.
Lane taught me last year to put peat moss down in the hot spots in my yard.
It helps.
I did it for the first time. I did it a little too late, but I told everybody yesterday, it's time to put it down.
Yeah.
So now what?
One of the recommendations I believe I read that you may bring to your board is the not allowing new turf install this
Correct.
Year.
Yes. We generally said no new landscaping, which that might, yeah. But technically it's probably no new turf because you're not going to be able to get it to.
How would it affect that? How would that affect this project then? No new turf?
And it goes back to what Elaine was saying, right? When you put turf in there, you've got to establish it. You've got to water it pretty frequently.
Yeah,
three times to establish, which is
you know, if we've got watering restrictions, how do you establish a turf with the watering requirements that are just what they are, right? Even if you're doing it right, there's going to be increased watering requirements. There's just no way to do it when we're asking for a 60% reduction, right? Maybe there is on a small little section, you know, if it was a volume restriction that we were talking about.
So again, it's a hard question to answer because you're not one of our customers. This is not in our customer area. So you'll have water early, but you've got half the city that are our customers,
right?
And so they're going to be watching.
Yes.
And so it's hard to say, yeah, do what you want here, but these guys are going to have major restrictions.
So.
Can I ask a good question?
Yeah.
What about swimming pools? We've got residential, we've got parks, swimming pools. Right, is there going to be a restriction on those? Splash pads?
So 10% reduction on your municipal water use, so the treated water use. Outside, the swimming pools are some of those gray areas. Typically, the swimming pools are not going to take, they could do just fine, typically. They're not filling a lot of water every day. They're not taking thousands and thousands of gallons.
It's going to fill up once in months.
They fill it, maybe top it off maybe once a month or something like that. And splash pads are all, from what I understand, they're all recycled.
So it's just the evaporators.
Yeah, it's evaporation.
Chris?
So what's the question we're trying to answer today?
So I think the question to answer today is how do we move forward with our plans? I personally say we just hold the grass.
Specific to this.
I think I'm saying we hold off on the grass.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
We all like the green, right? Green looks nice. What if we put in?
AstroTurf.
Turf?
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful idea to entertain.
It's going to be expensive,
yeah.
But you got to lead by example. And this is a time where the county, I think, could justify that. If you zero-scape that, it's going to be zero-scaped for the next forever years. I don't know how, 50 years. But if you look at Station Park, their green space, look, 20 years ago,
was bad.
AstroTurf was bad. Like, yeah. You fall on it, and it's like, go to the emergency room. but what you see today, is it going to cost more? Yeah. Can you stand up and honestly represent to the public, we paid more because of this? Because we've got to change our mindset. I don't love the zero-scape, and maybe we will be Arizona, and that's okay. Like, I'm okay getting there. Like, I'm supportive of flip the strip. The park strips are stupid. But maybe on a project like this, maybe you can showcase it. Look, lower income homes aren't going to be able to do that. But if you can show a project that looks good, I mean, think Pride of Homes. What if you could start getting larger homes? Because once you help that market grow, scales of economy, prices come down.
Competition, yeah.
Right. So, I love the idea of more parking because I know we need more parking. And close parking to that facility does not, I mean, it exists a little bit over here, but we don't have a side door anymore. Right on the east side.
No, there's all north, south, and west side.
Right. So I like the idea of more parking. I hate the idea that we're tearing out newly poured concrete. But if our options today are hold and do nothing, because you can't put turf in. Like, I don't think you can do that in good conscience. I don't think the amount of water that it would take. So we're going to leave it dirt. Okay, I'm cool with that. Other than when the dust storm comes.
I've experienced living in a home where it's just dirt for quite a while. It is very, very, very dirty.
Yeah, it's dirty. It's going to be
dirty. What if it's...
Because what if we have to drought next year?
Which we will.
Well,
we
will. I think you have to plan. That's the mindset, is that this isn't a one-time event, right?
This is a new
hopefully novel. It's not next year, the next 5 or 6 years, but it'll come again. So anything we can do right now to just become more drought resilient
is the, that's the mindset I think we need to have.
So there's probably some irrigation already underneath for anticipating turf, is that true?
Just some lines in, it's still doable.
Okay.
I've told them.
So what if it's...
They've come a long way, that's what I was going to say about turf. I was in Carlsbad earlier this year.
What if it's artificial grass?
And I saw some artificial grass that was pretty amazing.
Oh yes, they've come a long ways, and it's cheaper as well.
It's kind of not so expensive. I think it'll look ugly. Because the green will be a slow start.
For a gathering place.
They have artificially
turfed. That's what I keep thinking. There can be very large gatherings happen here. Yeah. I would love to still find that balance, and turf would keep that.
There are three options, and maybe four or five, and I'd love, but if we're going to answer the question, then we've got to have some solutions. So you've got turf, you've got Zeroscape, which is not going to be a gathering place. It's going to be...
No. More maintenance.
You'd have to design gathering areas in Zeroscape.
It's possible to put smaller stone seats out there.
Right, yeah. Design equipment.
Or you have signage saying, in case you didn't know, there's a drought. We're holding off on this project. Now, here's the kick in the pants. I don't have money from Slurf to do this. And the reason is because if we tie it to that project, you have to retroactive all the garbage to meet federal regulations, and I can't get that project there. We don't even want to try that. So Slough Rough's out. So this is fund balance, this is capital reserves. But, I mean, those are the three options I'm seeing. You can't plant. You just can't. You can't. But if there's a third or fourth option, I'd love to hear it, but I'm that's really what it comes down to in my mind.
I think a combination, you can have a combination. I mean, even Arizona has grass, right? They have patches of area saying, hey, this is gonna be where we will have our nice grass. The whole rest will be Zeroscape or, you know, some sort of artificial turf. I like a combination of all of those into that. And maybe before you plant the grass, you leave it as dirt until the time is right. But I could see Zeroscape on where Lane's showing that with parking, but then on the west side, is that a combination of the two, of artificial and grass?
If I could put turf into my home, I would in a heartbeat. Never have to mow again, never have to water it again, just water my trees.
There's a couple cons of turf. It gets extremely hot, certain ones. You can burn your bare feet on it during the hottest part of your docks. Yeah, but other than that,
there's a replacement cost over time.
Yep.
It will fall apart. You will have to replace
it. Great all year. But they actually have stuff, I've looked at it, and they have stuff that is not pure green. Like they actually put yellow. Yeah,
that's right. The one that I saw.
You guys have some at your facility, right? Yeah. Samples. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been up the conservation garden that they've got. They've got a mix of that that almost looks like real grass. But Zeroscaping, that actually looks like an area that I would go sit on the concrete bench underneath. Mm-hmm. Feel good.
Well, if so, what I'm hearing, maybe we need some options, explore some options, or with the design team.
Yes. We need to explore some options because it's the situation we're in right now.
So are we willing to spend fund balance and pay for a change order?
Yes.
So.
Which
you can't turn all of that right there into a parking lot. Like, leave the vast majority of the moving forward sidewalk, put in some inserts over to here, you put some trees in, but could you get two rows, one on this side and one on that side? With a lane down the middle.
Is this where you're thinking? On this area through here?
Yeah, look, I'm just eyeballing it, looking out the window, but it seems like you cut an entrance in here, you have some parking on this side, and you have parking up against this curb. You still have a sidewalk here.
I don't think there's enough room.
For rough calculations, we didn't think there was enough room for double.
Be able to get in, turn around.
It just looks, I mean, do you cut back these planter boxes? I'm just eyeballing.
You just do like a one row, you pull in and it's just one row of parking on that sidewalk.
Right, you don't like blow up your sidewalk.
Like you do up at the DATC where they're
angled.
Yeah, angled is what I was thinking.
So what might be a good option is approach our design team, get them to come present, actually get some real measurements, get some real options.
I'm up for that, but I also just want to point out, if we decide to go with turf and the best turf that hopefully
artificial turf.
Yeah, it looks better and holds up well to last over time. I'm a little bit sad. I want to try to find the balance between, in design, think about Washington, D.C. Think about the mall, and you've got these endpoints, and you've got something that visually is very beautiful, and it is a gathering for the nation. This is a gathering for Davis County. It was designed to get as much parking as possible because we absolutely need it, but it was also designed visually to connect these two buildings. And so visually, anything different from this to me is a little bit less of our original, right, you know, intent of design between two buildings and a gallery. But I'm open, you know, and we need to do something.
That looks really misleading. Like, to me, this is a misleading drawing. I'm not saying that our architects lied.
Yeah, these aren't free.
Because I would never make that accusation. That's not an architect, right? This isn't going to happen.
Yeah, those aren't.
This isn't going to happen.
This isn't even there.
Like, this isn't going to happen. Like, give me something more realistic. Yeah.
There's symmetry. Here's what I'm trying to say. Right now, there's symmetry. And if we cut in to add parking on the right, we lose the symmetry. That's a design principle.
Yes.
That is a design principle. So I'm just wanting to find the balance between symmetrical design and doing this county justice and saving the water that we must save.
So full disclosure. I went to one day of landscape architecture. When the professor asked how I felt when a tree was there and when it was gone, I dropped the class. That's just how it was. We're talking about symmetry. There's a lot more green space over here than between here.
Yeah.
So if I get a little parking as well, it makes me feel warm inside for what it's worth. If you move this into all parking, you still keep your
seat. I thought about that. Right. I thought about that, Kent. Yeah. that would be the difference. Yep. There's a way that could work. Yeah.
Yep.
You only have so much room to work with because we have those nice planter and patio areas in place already.
I like the idea of exploring turf and making this, for lack of a better term, a parade of homes to show people how it can be done and if it be done right.
Right.
And people that have the money can do it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the parade of homes does.
Yeah.
The things that 20 years ago were in the parade of homes are now standard features, and it happens with cars.
Absolutely.
So
that's why we're working with the builders to do, at least in their model homes, to do more of xeriscape and artificial turf, and they've bought into it so far.
The other nice thing about what Kent just pointed out is that perhaps we create visual symmetry more on the west and the south.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? When people come and they gather, then there's the whole western area to gather in with turf potentially, and the southern area to gather in with turf potentially. The other thing is the park strips. I want to know, you know, when you do take away everything in a park strip but leave those beautiful trees, do the trees get enough moisture then, you know? But it makes no sense to me too. My park strip has always been a disaster because I don't water it more than anything else, and so it struggles, right? And so we're gonna take care of that this year at my house. I know Farmington has special restrictions about those trees.
Yeah.
And so we, I don't know what works for them there, but.
Yeah, this might have to stay grass.
That large park strip.
Sounds like for sure we need to include Farmington in the conversation.
Well, I'll move forward. If you're, I'll get our design team on board, say we'd like to explore some different options and directions on the landscaping for this campus.
Okay.
I want to get it going ASAP, just.
Yep.
We already tentatively had a grand opening date of June 10th.
We still do that. It's just that we're just, people will, I think people understand that we are in a drought.
Yep.
Things are, things have changed.
It'll look good to say, hey, we changed our plans due to.
Right.
I agree.
So.
PR, put that thing in PR.
Okay. Thanks for the good discussion, everybody.
You can say something more, John. Yeah, well, I'm glad we brought you into it.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks you guys for coming out.
Comment on the artificial turf as it relates to groundwater seepage, and I mean, do you guys recommend getting the kind that actually water will seep through?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, most of them are. I don't know that there's, unless it's an indoor, but most of them are perforated.
So they need a pool.
Do you have examples from local companies?
We've got a few artificial turf demonstration areas in our garden. And so we can get you some contact information too. We've got stuff like that. So.
Might be worth just popping in.
Yeah,
I think so.
I've been there before.
St. George.
Yeah.
And it's looking back, it's, I think I used this with the property committee. 10 years ago, I saw a cell tower and it was like, oh, it's the ugliest thing ever. And how now I see a cell tower and I'm like, oh, so glad I have service. I'm assuming at some point, you know, 10 years ago, I probably looked at turf and like, oh, it's so tacky. Now I'm like, man, I'm glad I can drink some water.
Yeah.
Shower. Yeah.
Do you remember when Kaysville put in that teeny amount on the corner right downtown? Years ago, and it was the horrible turf. It looked horrible, horrible, horrible.
When I see stations,
so they changed it and took it out, I think. But.
Big roundabout in the middle of the winter. I'm like, oh, that looks great.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's a turf.
Yeah, it's artificial turf, and they're big roundabout.
Yeah, it's come a long way. I think if you just get the right kind.
There's some horses in this.
Oh, gee. If somebody donates some steel horses. Hey, I've got one.
I know.
I have a steel horse.
All right. We'll have to make sure that they get invited to the open house.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Beginning of June.
That's great.
It's exciting.
We're going off to the grill.
The time is 9:13 and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.